Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the autism and Asperger's communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click the Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, and support services. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Autism Empowerment Radio. My name is Karen Krejcha, and I serve as the Executive Director and Co-Founder of Autism Empowerment. I'm also your host today for Autism Empowerment Radio. For those who are new to our station, listening live or later in archive broadcast, Autism Empowerment Radio launched on June 14, 2012 in Vancouver, Washington, and we broadcast worldwide. Our past and upcoming shows will be available for listening either through the autismempowerment.org website, where you can click on the Autism Empowerment Radio tab, or you can go directly to our Blog Talk Radio Autism Empowerment station and choose to listen to on-demand episodes there. Well, I'm psyched to say that our featured guest today is Brian Tashima. Brian is the author of Secret of the Song Shell, the first book of the Spectraland saga. His book will be released on Tuesday, July 17th, and we're really excited to be able to chat with Brian today. As a little about his bio, Brian Tashima was born and raised in Hawaii, and he's been a resident of Vancouver, Washington since 2000. Not only is he a writer, but he's also a singer, songwriter, and guitarist, and he's won a Hoku Award, which is Hawaii's version of the Grammys. He's also had his music featured in short films, international compilations, and numerous other forms of media. Brian's currently a member of the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, Willamette Writers, and three Vancouver, Portland-based rock bands. Welcome on the air, Brian. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So, Brian, please tell our listeners a little about yourself.
Well, you've pretty much covered it pretty well. I'm a musician, songwriter, author. I was born and raised in Hawaii, moved here to Vancouver, Washington about 12 years ago. And, I have two wonderful kids, a son and a daughter. And that's pretty much it.
Well, that's great. And I know that you have a book, which is what we're going to be talking about today. It's called The Secret of the Song Shell. And I had a wonderful opportunity to be able to preview it myself. But why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the book and where you got the idea for it?
Sure. Well, it's a young adult science fiction fantasy. And the main character is a teenage boy who has Asperger's syndrome. And he's also a brilliant musician. And he ends up traveling to, like, an alternate universe where his brain waves can be combined with the sound waves of music to create magical effects. And basically, I got the idea for the book. It all started a couple of years ago when my son actually asked me to write a book for him. And that's been something that I've always wanted to do for a long time. I kind of dabbled in creative writing, although I was mostly focused on my music and songwriting. I did make a couple of attempts to write a novel in the past, but I just never really had the inspiration or any kind of like a really good idea that really carried me through the entire project. So when he asked me to write something for him, at first I was like, what, really? But then I said, it'll be a good, it's a good challenge, and it'll be a nice project for me to take on because it's something I've always wanted to do, and, it'll be for him, as well as for me. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. And so I kind of asked him what he wanted, and, he said, something, I think at the time he was, into like Harry Potter and books of that nature. And, I'm a huge, huge fan of that stuff myself. So, he wanted something where powers were involved. And so I thought, okay, that's perfect because I'm a huge fan. I love to read that stuff. And so I thought, okay, I'll write something in that vein. And that's kind of where the whole inspiration came from. So what I wanted to do was make a character that sort of combined. It would be for him. He has Asperger's, and so it would be based kind of on him, and also about other things that I am familiar with, mainly music and being a musician and everything that comes with that. So that's kind of where the idea started.
So a little bit of your real life experience is kind of brought into your writing as well.
Yeah, you know, I guess like they say, you know, write what you know. So I kind of wanted to come from that angle where I would be, you know, writing about, you know, I think every kid that grows up as a musician kind of has these dreams of, you know, wanting to, you know, be a rock star, be famous, you know, be, you know, make a living with your music. And, you know, I'm no exception to that. You know, when I was growing up, that was kind of a, you know, a dream I had. And so I wanted to make the main character somebody like that. And I guess the way the story evolved, it turned out being that Joel Suzuki, who's the main character, the teenage boy,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's going through his usual, you know, he has usual teenage issues, but, you know, also because of his Asperger's, he, you know, he has other challenges that he has to deal with as well. And so for him, the whole dream or the whole idea of becoming a rock star is sort of, it's an escape, it's a goal for him, and he feels that that's sort of the key to his happiness. Like, that'll solve all of his problems. If he can just make it in music and become a rock star, then that'll solve all his problems and make all his issues go away. And that sort of becomes the main theme of the book, with, you know, the idea of kind of chasing after happiness and what, you know, what the true meaning of happiness really is. And so that's kind of what the theme of the book came out to be.
Now, tell us a little bit more about some of the main characters in the book and how the book evolves without giving too much away.
Sure. Joel is the protagonist. He's the main character. And he's also the other main characters are Felicity Smith. She's also a musician, and she's also on the a character on the spectrum. And the two of them end up in this alternate world. It's actually like it's an island called Spectraland, where, you know, their brainwaves can be combined with musical sound waves to, you know, to create those magical effects that I mentioned. And they're actually brought over to that land by a rock star named Marshall Bile, who is, you know, sort of like their favorite musician. He's Joel's idol. He's a guy that Joel looks up to and tries to emulate himself after. And so, yeah, those are the three main characters. Marshall brings them over to Spectraland by telling them that if they can learn how to master these powers to use their brainwaves in this fashion, that they'll unlock the secret of how music affects the human mind, the human emotions, and therefore when they go back to Earth, they'll be, you know, having mastered these skills, they'll be able to create songs that become big hits and thus become rock stars. And that's how he did it, basically, is what he's telling them. So he wants to, and just, you know, he's helping them out. Say, oh, you know, I want to be sort of like a, you know, like an otherworldly Clive Davis, or, you know, kind of a kingmaker. Like, you know, I'm going to show you guys how I did it, and, you know, then you can become stars too. And, you know, I'll be happy because I know you guys are, you know, spreading joy to the world via music, and you guys will be happy because you'll have achieved your goal and so forth. So. So those are the main characters. Throughout their adventure that unfolds in the book, they're also joined by one of the local residents of Spectraland, a girl named Greenseed, who ends up accompanying them on their journey.
And the book, I don't want to give too much away, but when I was reading it, I immediately, your writing is very visual. I envisioned it as a movie or something that would be, you know, adapted to the big screen. What are your plans? I know this is the first book in the Spectraland saga. How many books do you anticipate in the series?
I have a plan to do 7 in total, and that mainly came about by when I was thinking of the whole Spectraland concept and thinking of the spectrum, and it's really tied into colors and musical notes and the whole and Newton's spectrum, the way Newton described it. He tied a color to each musical note. And, you know, they end up being the 7 colors, basically, you know, on the rainbow. And
right.
So I wanted to make one book for each color. So this is the first one. This is red. And, you know, the next one will be orange, and the next one will be yellow, and so on. So, you know, each book is tied into one of the colors on the spectrum, basically.
Oh, that's great. Now, who would you say would be the target audience for your book?
It's a young adult book, so basically it's kind of aimed, you know, to maybe about between 12 and 18
mm-hmm.
is the age of the readership. And but yeah, and really kind of, you know, but broader than that, it's I think it's anyone with any kind of connection, you know, if you're on the spectrum or if you have a connection to someone on the spectrum, you know, if you're related to them or you have friends or you work with them, then I think you know, any of those people, you know, you would be able to kind of you know, relate to some of the things that Joel goes through during the book. And and yeah, even outside of that, just you know, people who like music, musicians who want, you know, who want to be rock stars, you know, there's that angle as well. And you know, really anybody who's, you know, kind of a fan of the whole hero's journey, you know, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Avatar type thing, you know, the whole science fiction fantasy genre, I think you know, I think it would appeal to those kind of people. So
I kind of agree with you there. Did you have any specific goals for the book when you're writing it? I know you originally started to write it because your son, you know, was interested in you writing a book. How did it kind of evolve into something that you decided that you wanted to launch worldwide?
Well, yeah, you know, after I finished it, and yeah, like you said, originally it was just really going to just be a project for me and my son. But then after I finished, I kind of began to think about it some more, and I realized that, well, you know, what I kind of have here is a hero for kids that are on the spectrum, kind of a, you know, a fictional role model that they can call their own, somebody that they can kind of identify with and say, hey, you know, here's a character that's succeeding or saving the day, you know, with his special qualities, not despite them. You know, I've read other books where, you know, that have characters on the spectrum, and you know, not to disparage these books or anything. I mean, they're all great in, you know, in their own way, but kind of what I kind of felt was like they were, you know, they were succeeding and by kind of like overcoming their, you know, their qualities and not necessarily using them to their advantage or to their benefit. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with this, where, you know, I'm showing that, you know, people, you know, kids on the spectrum are, you know, using their abilities actually as, you know, as a superpower in a sense. And
I think it's, you know, it's something where they, when, you know, reading it myself, and also I have, for our listeners out there, my 12-year-old also, who is in one of the target market, he listened, he read the book as well, and he also, it happens to be on the autism spectrum, and he loved it. I mean, he felt that Brian should be writing another book immediately, and he felt, you know, that it, you know, kind of empowered him. It made him feel good about who he was. It wasn't like he had to be ashamed, or, you know, he just thought it was, the character was a real cool guy, and, you know, he could just be him. He had no pretenses. He could just, you know, be accepted for who he was. So I really, you know, thought that it would appeal to a wide range of people. And I was wondering how you thought your son and Joel would get along.
That's a really interesting question. You know, I think they would get along pretty well, actually. They have some interests that overlap. So I mean, Joel's probably a lot more into his music and playing music than, and my, you know, my son plays piano and you know, some other things, but he's not quite as much into you know, guitar or songwriting as Joel is. But I think they still do have some interests that would overlap, and so I think they would find each other to be, you know, pretty interesting company. So yeah, that's a good question though. But yeah, I think they would get along pretty well. I'm going back to the goals question. I think in a kind of a big picture, what I really want to do is in the short term, as you know, I'm going to be donating a portion of the proceeds from the book sales to Autism Empowerment, and kind of a big picture goal is, you know, if it gets to that point, what I'd really love to be able to do is kind of you know, give back to the whole you know, autism community, or, you know, to, you know, autism spectrum research. And, you know, I know this sounds pretty ambitious, but, you know, if it gets to a certain point, then I'd love to be able to just kind of, you know, donate money, or, you know, help support programs. You know, my son has a, you know, is a program at his school that you know, helps him with social cues and things like that. And I know not every school, you know, has that, and it would be wonderful to be able to help other schools and, you know, help their kids with, you know, with funding and support, and, you know, to be able to, you know, bring these programs to kids, you know, across the country or even, you know, worldwide. I mean, that's thinking big, but, you know, that would be something I would love to do with this. So But
well,
yeah,
that's wonderful.
In the short term, I'll be supporting Autism Empowerment with, you know.
Oh, well, we are really grateful for that. And honestly, you know, we think big as well. I mean, even though we're based here out of Vancouver and we develop programs here locally, we hope for them to have a national reach, an international reach. And, you know, I see your book as that opportunity for a lot of kids to be able, you know, nationwide, worldwide, to be able to have an opportunity to plug in and have a, you know, character they can kind of relate to or kind of, you know, have a hero for themselves. And I think what you're doing is great. You're very generous, and it's wonderful that you want to be able to, you know, you found a calling where you want to give back to the community as well. I wanted to make sure, while we had time here, I'm looking at the clock, I wanted to make sure that we promoted, before we got back into talking about your writing, about your where people could get your book. It launches July 17th?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they can get your book directly through your website, I understand, at www.spectraland.com. Where else is it available? Sorry.
Well, mainly it'll be available online. It's thespectralandsaga.com, and basically it'll be available in a print version as well as an ebook version. And yeah, so you know, if they go to the website starting from July 17th, then they'll be able to get it. It's going to be coming out in a number of formats. You know, for Kindle and other e-readers, as well as a print version. Getting it, not online. I'll be doing a couple of launch parties where I'll have copies of the book available for sale there. And right now, it's not going to be in any physical stores as of yet. Although, if there's a demand for that, then I'm certainly open to looking into that option. But right now, it's just going to be mainly online, and then at any kind of appearances or the launch parties. So.
Okay, is it thespectralandsaga.com or spectralandsaga.com?
Yeah, it's mainly thespectralandsaga.com, but if you put in the address without the, then you'll go to there at the same place. So.
Okay, just want to make sure our readers can pick that up for you. Now, tell us a little about the launch parties. I know we're going to be there with you to support you, but I'd love our listeners that are in the Vancouver, Portland metro area to be able to have a chance to come and participate and check out the launch.
Sure. The first one is going to be on Saturday, July 21st, from 3 to 5 in the afternoon at Thatcher's Coffee, which is on the Grand Central off of Exit 1, on Exit 14, I mean on Highway 14. And that's going to be, it's free, it's all ages. You know, kids are certainly welcome to that one. We'll be having free cupcakes for... you know, for however long they last, and you know, I'll have copies of the book there, and you know, we'll be doing signing and maybe a little reading if there's enough demand for that. And the second one is going to be at on Wednesday, July 25th, starting from about 8 p.m. That one is the adult version. It's 21 and over at Ash Street Saloon in downtown Portland on 225 Southwest Ash Street. And that one is going to be it'll have several of the bands that I play in will be performing at that. So we'll have books there as well. So
okay, will you be doing a signing at the adult launch as well?
Yes.
Oh, sounds great. Okay, and is there any? Do you have plans for anything else in terms of promotion after that? Any book tours or anything else that you'd like to do?
Oh, definitely, yeah. That's going to be something that's in the works. Probably I like to do maybe work with some schools as well. And, so those are just some ideas that we're going to be doing in the future. We don't have anything concrete yet, but as things come up, then you know, we'll definitely be putting the word out.
Sounds great. I wanted to ask you, and also to tell our readers who are interested in a writing process, how long would you say it took you to complete the book, and what was a little bit about the process that you went through to be able to write it?
It took me about 4 months to finish the first draft, and although that was the actual writing itself, prior to that I had been doing a lot of outlining. And I know some writers, they write to an outline, some they just kind of write off the cuff. For me, I have to write to an outline just so I know where things are going in general. So the outline itself took a while to develop. Might have been about maybe even a year in the making for the outline. But once that was done, the actual writing was about 4 months, and I made a schedule or a goal for myself that I would write 300 words a day, no matter what. Like, no matter what was happening, I would try to find time, late at night, early in the morning, whatever, to write, and I would have to hit the target of 300 words, no matter how bad or how incomprehensible it was. I would just write something, even if I was dead tired and what I was writing was total nonsense, I would just write it and get it down, and then that was the sort of the process. I just wanted to get it done, and then I would think, okay, well, as long as I get the idea down, then I'll go back and fix or rewrite later, because there's always going to be rewrites. And after the initial manuscript was completed, it went through probably about at least 7 rewrites. One was pretty major, and then the rest were just kind of cleaning things up. But and that rewrite process took another 6 months or so. So it's been a while in the making.
Did you know when you started the book where it was going to end?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
So you had that idea in mind.
Yeah, I had the basic outline, the basic story down, the basic framework. Within the story, I noticed there were times when the characters would kind of go off and start doing their own thing. it's really interesting because they kind of develop a mind of their own where it's like, well, my outline says this, but then once they start getting into it, they're like, okay, well, I don't think so, Brian. I don't think we really would do something like that. And so they end up kind of doing what they want to do or what they would naturally do. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll just go with that then. But what that ends up giving you is probably a more natural result with what you read. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That what I wrote in the outline sounded too artificial, and it's more the characters are doing what normal people would be doing in that situation. So, it's a fun, interesting process. And I know you mentioned earlier about the it being it seeming sounding like a movie, and that's kind of what I had in my head as I was writing. Is I wanted to make it very visual, and I would just picture what was happening in my head as I was writing it, and so I think that kind of lent itself to that. That movie type quality or the cinematic quality to it. And to be able to make it into a movie would be wonderful. I'd love to see it myself, but I think because there's a lot of there's a lot of special visual effects and everything, it would have to be something. I wouldn't want it to be it would have to be done really well, I think. And kind of what I had in mind was it would be almost something like almost 300. Have you seen that movie? It's very kind of artsy and it would be like 300 for kids, basically, just something that's has a lot of very vivid images and colors and things like that. So anyway, that's
especially,
what I kind of had in my mind.
Especially with the descriptive. You just have to buy the book and read it, because it's hard for me to describe, but visually it just, as you read it, as the words come across the page, they just flow in your mind in pictures, and you did an excellent job. What did the ideas, just in general, where did you get the ideas for the book?
You mean like for the settings, the scenery, or
the settings?
Line, Oh, the settings. A lot of that was, well, I kind of envisioned, I wanted, it's spectralized as an island, it's kind of a tropical setting, but at the same time, there's a lot of colors in the air, and everything is kind of shifting, and the way, because of the way the electrical particles in the air are very evident to the naked eye, as you see that, as things kind of change around, your perception of it changes, and so one minute you're looking at it, it's kind of like a watercolor painting, and the next minute you're looking at it, it's like a computer illustration or something like that. And that's kind of what as I was envisioning it, I was thinking that would be very visually striking, I think, and it was just something I kind of really kind of came up with off the top of my head, really. Just something that I would want to see myself, basically, is just kind of a world that's just really, you know, almost like you're walking through a painting kind of thing. So, yeah.
Go ahead. The creativity that I've known that you're a songwriter as well, and it seems like the creativity that goes behind creating music and it worked well for you in terms of, you know, transferring that to writing.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think because, in songwriting, you have kind of an economy of words where you're trying to convey, you know, a story or images or, you know, a message in just a few words. And, you know, so with writing a novel, it's kind of very liberating in a way, because then you have all of these, you have lots of sentences and paragraphs that you can use to kind of, you know, get your point across. And
How long is your book?
It is the print version is 307 pages.
Okay. I was just looking. Sorry, this is really interesting. I could talk to you for a very long time, and I'm sure our listeners would want to listen as well, but I noticed we just have a few minutes left, so I want to give you the opportunity to be able to share anything specifically that you'd like to say or share with the readers, something we may not have covered before. Whatever it is you'd like to say, I want to give you that opportunity.
Sure. Well, yeah, I think, you know, the book is fun. You know, it's not, you know, I wrote it to be, you know, a fun, fast, entertaining story that, again, you know, people who are fans of that whole science fiction, fantasy, hero's journey kind of genre would enjoy. And, you know, my mission with this book, like I said, I really want to be able to, I really want to be able to provide, kids on the spectrum with their own kind of hero, and just being able to, you know, kind of give back to the whole community and support, you know, not only autism empowerment, but, you know, just, you know, the entire idea of, you know, autism education and awareness. And at the same time, you know, because I'm hoping that it's a fun story that anybody can enjoy, that, you know, that other readers who don't have any connection to anybody on the spectrum can also kind of read it and not only, you know, enjoy the story, but sort of, you know, get sort of more of an understanding, I guess. So in a way, it kind of promotes awareness and education in and of itself. In that sort of way, by getting the message out within what is hopefully just, you know, a fun, entertaining story for people to read. So.
Right, they're learning a little bit about it without even realizing that, because they're in the process of enjoying the story.
Exactly.
And let's see, I want to go ahead and just, since we have about 2 minutes, I just want to mention again that your book launches on July 17th, Brian Tashima, Secret of the Song Shell. How did you come up with the title, by the way? I forgot to ask that.
Oh, yeah. It originally was something else, and then I realized that it was a little too, there was always that artifact, the song shell, and the way I came up with the shell was because I wanted to tie it in with the whole tropical island kind of imagery. So I thought, well, you know, what would be a good kind of artifact that we could use? And, you know, I thought, shell is, you know, kind of an iconic image, and it ties in well with the tropical island scenery. So that's kind of where that came from. And then, you know, the whole song shell idea. What it does is, you know, the shell, it stores and amplifies and magnifies the powers that, you know, the characters have on the island, and so, you know, therefore it's sort of a, you know, it's a song, it's a shell that stores songs, you know, in a way, and it stores it and amplifies it, and that's kind of where the power comes from.
Okay.
So.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I want to be able to let you go on and on, but we've got about 46 seconds here. So I just want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity to come on to Autism Empowerment Radio today. And I look forward. I hope that we can have you back again after your launch or even perhaps before that and talk about the book a little bit more.
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Karen. I'd love to do that.
Thank you. And for those listening in, we will also have links to Brian's website at autismempowerment.org. And he also has a Facebook page as well, and we will get the links to all of that straight from Autism Empowerment. And you can check his Facebook page and his website at www.thespectralandsaga.com. Thank you again, Brian. It's been a wonderful show.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.